sit back and think, man, those teachers are all back there in the back hall, and they're just kind of laughing and rubbing their hands together going, wait till they get this exam and this paper due. You know, sometimes I just think they're scheming back there to burn everybody out, you know, the first month or a couple weeks they're here. Does anybody ever feel that way besides me when I was in school? Man, it just seemed like, well, all of a sudden this workload just hits me from out of nowhere. But, you know, really, I was talking to some of the professors. They're like, man, I got 100 papers to grade tonight, and I didn't go home till 11 o'clock last night. So I don't think any of y'all wanted to be doing that. So I guess, you know, in hindsight, and now that I do a little bit of that, I find out, you know, really they're trying to help sow into our lives, aren't they? And I know that, you know, Friday night, it's a great night. Y'all probably heading to bed early tonight, ain't you? And what's up with all those mosquitoes out there, y'all? Come on with it. Whatever. Golly, my goodness. I'm taking up some new defensive tactics. Well, in the short time we have left, I want to share two things with you this morning. I'm going to share out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. This is what Paul said. He wrote so much of the New Testament. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Father, we just come to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. God, let us just rejoice and be glad in what you've done in our lives. And God, this time together, we just pray you destroy every attack of the enemy, every vice of the devourer, Father, Lord, every trick of the enemy, every hindrance, Lord, distraction. Lord, all those things that are not pleasing to you, would you just remove them and begin to tear down walls, God? Lord, would you allow folks to let you in today? Lord, they would let you in today. And God, we just want to give you all the glory and praise. Prepare hearts and ears to receive today. And Lord, let it be your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't have a whole lot to do. I said I'm originally from Dallas and Fort Worth area, but I spent a lot of growing up years in the central Midwest. And, you know, when I was growing up, they didn't have cable TV. And when the evening news went off, I mean, the TV just blanked out. I mean, there was just like nothing there. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's either time for bed or you got to be ingenious thinking up new things to do. And so growing up, you know, we did a lot of games, a lot of those game things. And one of the things we do, we played dominoes when I was a kid. Of course, you get older, you know, down south, they call them Mo's or 42, you know, and all those things that go with it. But, man, when you're a kid, you know, you're just trying to be exploring and trying to think up new ways. And so, you know, we'd hate to line up all those dominoes. You ever done that when you're a kid? Just line them all up, you know, make all these big designs. And then after you've done all that work to set those up, you just take my little finger, I'd take it and push the first one down. You know what happens, right? They just all come tumbling down. And so what took you hours to do, just one finger, or an irritating brother or sister in my case, would come up and destroy all that you've done, all that work to put together. And in some fashion, my finger was a catalyst in that reaction. Now, a catalyst is just something that goes in, helps make things happen, comes back out, and it's not affected. And I submit to you today that all of us have had people and things happen in our lives that have been catalysts in our lives. As a matter of fact, you and I have been called to be catalysts in our lives. And I want to share with you this morning, the first thing that I want you to know is that a catalyst causes change. A catalyst causes change. And you know what? We can all be a catalyst in somebody else's life. I don't care if you grew up in the hood or in Harrison, Arkansas, or Hugo, Oklahoma, or somewhere else that nobody knows about. It doesn't matter. A lot of times we use the excuse, hey, man, you don't know what I've been through in my life, you know. Well, you don't know what I've been through in my life. I don't, you know, even if you grew up in the hood, the person next door, your neighbor, you don't want them to know what's going on in your life, man. You know, you're not telling anybody. And a lot of times we use that as a front to kind of keep everybody, including God, at a distance. But you see, we can look back and, you know, in my life, I was praying about this message. The Lord just really dealt with me about my testimony. Really dealt with me about my testimony. And, you know, there's a lot of things that went wrong in my life I could look back and say. You know, I could look back when I was riding the school bus and that high school girl that gave me that adult book the first time when I was riding on the school bus to school as a little elementary kid. You know, I could look back at the days when I was rebellious and not doing what I needed to be doing and the fact that I got sent to a military high school because I was getting I pluses in school. That'd be the same thing as kind of like a D plus, I guess, wouldn't it? And, you know, that military school was supposed to straighten me all out and you know, really just kind of taught me how to get away with stuff. Because, you know, everybody else in there wasn't an angel either, you know. And, you know, everybody in Bible schools not as close to Jesus as maybe we'd like to think we are. You know, there's an old Chinese proverb that says a pearl is often found in an ugly shell. And most of us aren't quite as good looking as we think we are, if the truth be known. Come on with me. You're hanging with me. I just want to get down. I just want to talk with you this morning. Is that okay? You know, I'm tired of playing games. I don't think we need to go to church just to put on a show and so everybody can say, hey, man, I crossed that off my list of to-do things to be spiritual this week. You know, I want God to change me whenever I come to church. You know, then I went to a regular secular college for a while, and, man, I was just running hard from God. I could look at all the bad things that happened in my life. Being in the military, man, I was living life. I was trying to live life large. Everything that everybody said was good for you and that you needed to do to find satisfaction in life, it left me with a thirst for something that I didn't know how to find. Because I didn't realize there was an emptiness in my life. Now, check this out. I was brought up in the church. Man, I can look back at the good things. My folks were good Southern Baptist people. It brought me up in the church when I was 10 years old. I remember giving my heart and life to Jesus at a music camp. I didn't know how it happened. I didn't know why it happened. I just knew something happened. I'm 10 years old. They make the altar call, and I'm down front, and the counselor says, how can I help you? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, yeah. You know, he found out I needed Jesus in my life. You know, and I don't know how all that happened, but I know that night. I'll never forget that night. That when I left that tabernacle, I felt like I was walking on air. I'd never had that feeling in my entire life. Man, I was like walking on air. By the time I was 13, I was running from God. Because all my friends were in the world. They weren't in the church. I went to one of those nice churches where it was all older folks and not any young people in the church. And so I began to run from God for about 10 years. Until I got in the military, and God has this unique way of orchestrating circumstances, doesn't he? And I began to have a lot of additional duties. I was an officer in the United States Army and field artillery. Man, and, you know, people would have looked and said, man, you got it made. You're working for Uncle. Man, you always get paid. You're in the family. He's taking care of his own. And I was trying to live life large. And all I was doing was going deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole that I couldn't even describe. And, you know, sometimes we think, man, you just don't realize my situation. You know, there's nothing wrong with drinking a little bit. There's nothing wrong with kind of making out. And, you know, of course, the big thing now is oral sex, right? You know, because that way you're not really having sex. Wake up. You know, I mean, come on. Well, you know, I was trying to do all those things. Trying to fill an emptiness in my life. And I started drinking a little too much because I thought that was the answer. And after about 2 weeks of getting drunk every night, I remembered the Bible that my dad had given me. It was on my nightstand. And you know, I never read it, but I dusted it off and I had it out there on my nightstand because I wanted everybody to know I had religion. I didn't realize it was about a relationship. Can I tell you something? There's something totally different between religion and a relationship. A relationship is something you can depend on with somebody who's trustworthy, who's always going to be there for you. And you know, some of us, we've been through tough things in our life. And you know, a lot of times we let God in to a certain point. But can I tell you, God wants all of us, not just part of us. Man, and God got me to this place, and I was like, man, I'm going down the wrong road fast. And one night I said, I've got to get back to where I know I need to be. And I began to read my Bible. I'd read a chapter a night, and I'd say a prayer. And I thought, man, everything's going to get better now. Matter of fact, everything got worse. And after about 2 weeks, I remember I'd prayed that night. I'd read the scriptures, I mean, and I was praying. I said, God, you got to show me that you're real, or I'm going to have to find something that is. And I wasn't trying to tempt God. I wasn't trying to point my finger in his face. I wasn't trying to prove him, to make him do anything. That's just where I was. I needed an answer that I didn't even know what it looked like. And in that moment, all of a sudden, I felt like something came in my room. My night lamp, it got real bright and dim and bright and dim again. And it hadn't done that in the 2.5 years that I've been there, and it didn't do it after that. And you might say, well, you know, Marshall, come on, really. But I contend this morning I mean, I was a Southern Baptist, so I didn't know much about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, actually. But can I tell you something? When something divine comes in your room, you could have the sensitivity of a rock and know that something is going on in your world. Can I get a witness? Come on. God knew what I needed. He knew I had a strong back and a weak mind. He knew this has got to be like Paul, you know, man. It's got to be Road to Damascus style. Come on. Up the ante, man. Marshall's on the brink. We got to save him now. Do it. Pull out the big guns. But when he did that, something inside of me said, okay, God, I know that you're real, and I'll hang on. And I've been hanging on ever since. And can I tell you that this journey that we're on, you know, man, there's some ups, there's some downs, man, there's some loop-de-loops, and you're like, God, where did you go? And he said, I've been here the whole time. He's never failed us. He never let us down. And all those things that the world has lied to those that don't know the Lord, that aren't really close to him, that don't really have that right relationship with him, all those things that he's lied and said, this is the way for fulfillment. This is the answer that you've been looking for. This is going to bring you happiness. If that's what you believe, then you believe a lie. Because you're living for the moment. And how many of you know that sin feels good? If sin hurt, there'd be a lot less of it, wouldn't it? But it feels good. For a season. But for every decision, there's a responsibility and there's going to be a reaction to our actions. But can I tell you, when I asked Jesus Christ right then, I said, God, I know you're real and I'm going to hang on. When I let him all the way in, finally, he was the catalyst that made an eternal difference in my life. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, and I can look back at some of the great positive things that have happened in my life. The positive things. I think about, man, Dr. Phil Sharp. He was a teacher here at Trinity for years and years and years. He's my Sunday school teacher. Can you imagine that? When I'm in town, I go listen to Pastor Phil. Man, he loves Jesus. Little bitty old scrawny. Man, you think he's getting ready to blow away when the wind goes? Man, I'm telling you what, he gets full of the Holy Ghost. You better back up. He gets on fire. Man, I'm telling you what, he is an inspiration to me. And that's what I just want to encourage you while you're here. You may feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm in Podunkville. But let me tell you something. God's got you at a place separated. He separated Paul out. You know, Paul wasn't too good to go out in the middle of nowhere and learn about God. Hallelujah. Moses wasn't too good to go out in the middle of nowhere and learn about God. Hallelujah. But you and I are not so good that we can't go out wherever God calls us to have a time and a season to sharpen the axe and study about the God we serve. Hallelujah. There's an old saying that the tree can only grow as tall as the roots grow deep. And you better spend the time to grow those roots deep, because I'm telling you, there's some storms out there. And if you're not planted in the Word of God, you're going to fall out there like so many others already have. We don't need another story in the headlines of the newspaper. We need some men and women of God who have allowed the catalyst of Jesus Christ to make a difference in their life. Hallelujah. Amen. Because after all, scriptures tell us, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But the challenge is to allow the newness of what God wants to do in your life to let it have its fullest effect, I guess, if you will. If you'd really open all the doors. You know, not everybody understands everybody else. A lot of us have different stories. That's the great thing about us. We're all different. But you know what? God knows your story. And he knows your story. He knows your story. He knows yours and yours. And mine and yours. And he wants to use that story to bring glory to his name. You know what? You may be living for the moment, satisfaction for the moment, but God wants to be a catalyst in your life so that you can live for eternity and have eternal fruit to his glory. Hallelujah. So catalyst always causes change. But secondly, a catalyst removes resistance. Say catalyst with me. Catalyst removes resistance. You see, after all, you and I, right, we're supposed to reflect the Lord and our attitude and the things we do, our work ethic. We're supposed to emulate and look, be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, some of you are hurting. You better turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you this morning. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you what, we all need a little bit of help, don't we? especially when we get up in the morning and we're like, morning, you know. I tell some people, I said, man, I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Man, my evangelist friends say, man, Marshall, 5 o'clock only comes one time in my day, and that's at night, brother. Don't be calling me. Don't even think I'm getting up at 5 o'clock. There's no morning at 5 o'clock in the morning in my world. But a catalyst removes resistance. And in the last part of this verse that we read, verse 18, it said, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, he's given you and I a responsibility, church. We have a responsibility not only to let God in. And there's some of us that are struggling this morning with that. You're not really where God wants you to be. You haven't really let God have all of you. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect. None of us are perfect. We're all on a journey. We're trying to work this out. But I'm just saying you haven't really given all to the King. You holding some back. Because, you know, in the world today, there's a trust issue. We don't trust people. This is the age of cynicism. Oh, there's got to be some other angle going on here. Somebody's trying to work something. Somebody's going to try to get something from me. No, we need to give it all to God. And then as we give it all to him, he's given us this responsibility that we're supposed to have a ministry of reconciliation. Now, the thing about this word catalyst, it was derived from a Greek word, which literally means to annul, to untie, to loose, or to set free. Now, the interesting thing about that is that a form of that same Greek word is used throughout the New Testament. And, you know, you and I, God's called us to be full of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God so that we can be the oil that removes resistance. Now, how many of you here have a car? Come on now. How many got a car? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. How many got a car? Come on. All right. I just want everybody else to notice who had their hand raised in case you needed a ride tonight, okay? If anybody's going to Aberdeen or anything. How many of you know you got to put oil in your car, don't you? Yeah, if you don't put oil in your car, not only is your car not going to run, but mom and dad probably are not going to be too happy about it, and they're not going to be looking forward to helping you get another car if you don't take care of what they've given you or you have purchased. You're going to take care of it, aren't you? You've got to have that oil in the engine. It reduces friction. And you and I should be men and women filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that we help reduce friction between other people and actually getting a connection with a God who cares about them. God's called you and I to make a positive difference, to be a lighthouse in a world that's lost. And our passage stated, God reconciled us to himself through Christ. You know, God could have used a million different ways to restore our relationship with him. You know, that's what the world says. There's all these ways that lead to God. But can I tell you something? If there was another way, do you think that he would allow his only son to die on a cross for you and I? If there was another way? There is no other way. And I don't know about you, but I don't, you know, maybe some of you have seen the movie The Passion. And in The Passion, that's probably the closest view to crucifixion that we'll ever see. But in the old history books, it tells us, even in the scriptures, it says he was beaten beyond recognition. In the history books, you know, it says that they weren't normally crucified high up on a hill, but they were crucified on crucifixes along the main road. And they weren't up high, they were down low so the animals could feed on them at night. History books tell us that. And there were no clothes. That's Hollywood. And can you imagine walking to school or walking to work, wherever you were going, and your best friend is beaten beyond recognition, naked, bleeding, the animals have been feeding on them, and they are crying out for somebody to help them. The history books tell us that people lived 2 and 3 weeks like that before they finally died. That's why everyone was so amazed that Jesus passed so quickly. And you know, when I look in the mirror in the morning, you know, when I look at myself and I don't see anything that was worth Jesus going to the cross and paying that kind of price for me. But it says he did it willingly for you and for me. You see, it's not just a story. It's reality.
And he's a catalyst that changes your life. And he's called you and I to be catalyst in return, that we have that oil of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that removes resistance and allows those reactions and those connections to be made. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. And just as God has sent his son Jesus Christ to remove resistance so that you and I can have a relationship with him, he's commissioned you and I to go out and be a catalyst in the lives of other people, to leave a positive impact in their life, to help them connect with a God who loves them and cares about them. But here's the question this morning. Here's the question this morning as the worship team comes back. Because I want to just spend some time in the presence of a God who paid such a price. Here's my question. What kind of catalyst are you going to be? Are you going to keep playing the games and hiding behind excuses and keep carrying the baggage, all the stuff of the old, all that baggage carrying around? Are you going to be catalyst for the new, allowing Jesus Christ to have all of you, not just part of you? You know, my heart just began to break last night as I was praying it. And so many have a story that they're even afraid to tell. The things that have gone on have been so rough. And can I tell you this morning, we serve a God who's a healer. He's a healer, young people. Man, he doesn't want your growth to be stymied right here. Man, he wants this to be a launching point for you. All the people that he's going to open doors for you to touch and pour into their lives. And he just wants you to be stronger by the time you leave this place than you are right now. He wants you to have a more intimate relationship than you have right now. And you know, in the world today, we've made intimacy a dirty word. It's all about sex, and that's not right with God. Man, sex is God's institution. He's not against it. He just wants us to do it in the right way under the blessing of his institution of marriage. He'll bless it. But intimacy with God is being in the place where we can hear the still, small voice of God, even when he whispers. And he says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Just stand with me. Stand with me this morning. There's some of you this morning that God's just dealing with your heart. There's some this morning that you need to let the catalyst of Jesus Christ take on a fuller role in your life than you have let it. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that nobody needs to know anything about why you move out. I'm going to just invite you this morning. God wants you to take steps of faith. And in your steps, you're saying, God, I want you to have more of me than I've been giving you lately. God, I want you to have more of me. If that's you, would you just begin to move out here and find a place at the altar? You have something, I want to pray with you. Staff and faculty, we're going to be here to pray with you. But then you say, God, you know what? I haven't been allowing you to have as much of me as I've needed to. Father, this morning, would you be the catalyst that doesn't just look on the surface with everything that's going good. But Father, would you go down deep in my life? Lord, don't let the bad things that have happened in my life keep me from the best that you want for my life today. But I want to ask a second thing. I want to ask a second thing, church. Perhaps this morning, it's not that you need to let Jesus touch you and be the catalyst in your life, but you have a need. you have a need today and you don't know where to turn except to God. And you need to reach out and just touch the catalyst. Even as the woman with the issue of blood reached out, she'd done all she could. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be changed. I'll be healed. I'll have provision. I'll have clarity of vision. I'll have that revelation. I'll have that discernment I need. God, I just need you. I just need you. If that's you this morning, would you find a place? Would you find a place? Come on, church. We got time. Just begin to open yourself and let God in. Let him in. Let him in. Come on. Come on, students, staff, faculty. Come on, let's cry out to him. Let's pursue him. Let's run after him. Let's not be satisfied with where we are. Don't be satisfied with where you are right now. Have that hunger. God, I want more from you. I want more. I want more. I'm not going to hold back anymore. I'm not going to let the enemy steal what you have for me today. I want all you have for me. I want all you have for me, God. That's what I want. Let him in. Let him in this morning. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us as only you can, God.